Bibles if you care to read along. We're going to be hearing Mark 9, verses 9 through 15. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. So they knew the matter. They kept the matter to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" And he said to them, "Elijah does come first to restore all things, and that is how it is written of the Son of Man, that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it was written of him." And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed. And they ran up to him and greeted him. This ends the first reading.
Thank you, Sue. Young people, we know that big stuff is supposed to be taken to God, right? Like if someone that you love is ill or is suffering tremendously, emotionally, physically, even spiritually, that belongs to God, right? We take that to God, yes? Uh-oh. We're not getting a lot of nods here. That goes to God, right? Yeah, okay, there we go. Now we're getting some nods. Okay, good. All right. And we know that sort of medium-sized stuff in your minds, right? You know, and I'll let you define it for yourself. Things that maybe you wouldn't say to us in the congregation, that belongs with God too, right? The anxieties and fears and all of that. You know, the things that, air quotes, keep you up at night. I mean, we do that as adults. We just don't tell you we do it, but we give that stuff to God too, right? What about the little things? What do you consider, and I'm very serious here, what do you consider to be too little or unnecessary to share with God? And I do expect an answer from this. So this is not, and do not default to the Christian ease response of, oh, everything goes to God. And yes, it does, and I'm going to tell you that, and your parents will, and the leadership of the church will. But in practice, what doesn't always go to God? Any thoughts about that? What doesn't always go to God? It looks like I just interrupted Jacob as he opened his mouth to speak. So were you, or you can nod if you don't want to. But what are those little things that you, maybe that doesn't need to go to God. It's okay. He's busy. God's busy. He's got more important things on his plate than this today. What do you think? And I have a question myself, so I'm going to be curious to see how you handle it. Anything? Can you think of anything? Susie's mouth sits open for those on Zoom as she's sort of... Lily looks at her feet, you know, trying to like, it's written on the feet. I got to look there because he's going to call my name. But I'm up here so I can see you. What do you think? Anything? Can you think of anything that you might consider too small for God's time? What do you think, Susie?
I was kind of thinking, small things like at school.
Like,
I hope I can get a seat on the bus.
Oh, bus
seats,
yes.
Well,
A on the test I put in the middle category, but yes, seats on the bottom, right? I always wanted to do well in school. Yeah, right? What else?
And then I was also kind of thinking, like, things in the future, like going to college, like, that's down the road for me, but, you know, there's still kind of small things to think about right now.
So proximity-wise, college down the line, but it's going to be a big thing, but today it's a little smaller today. All right. That's fair. Jacob, what do you think? You got any little things that you go, just don't even know.
Opening the fridge and hoping there's something you want to do.
Hey, there you go. All right. Now we're getting practical. Opening the fridge, he says, folks on Zoom and Facebook, and hoping there's something you want in there. My friend, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Especially when you've got things to do and you're like, okay, I digress. Anybody else? Little things. Lily, what do you think? You got a little one back there for me? You look very serious, so I feel like you do. But if you don't, it's okay.
I can't really think of one.
Struggling right now? Okay, that's all right. So let me ask you, is this something that should be brought to God? Okay. Last night, we had dinner with John Mark, and it was wonderful. He might have been or might not have been the best company. You know, teenagers, right? He's still 19, so I can say teenagers. Teenagers, right? Got home, tired, had a cup of tea, because that's my thing, and I went to bed, and I slept horribly. Quite frankly, I had nightmares throughout the night, very vivid dreams and things that did not allow me to rest and affect my mind even now as I'm thinking about them. It was just kind of a sort of moment. You've had those moments where it's just sort of, everything's all cloudy, you don't like it. Another glass of tea doesn't hurt, by the way. I've had a few of those today. That helps. Is that something that is too small or too insignificant to bring to God, in your opinion? What do you think, Josie? Is that something too small to bring to God, in your opinion? And if you say yes, it won't hurt my feelings.
If it's worrying
to you, then it's not small. Thank you. John Mark, if he were here, would say, Dad, you're old and you don't hear so good. So if it's worrying to you, it's worth bringing to God. Is that true, Jacob?
I would think so.
You would think so? Josie has great wisdom in this. You think so? So then the challenge for us as we're moving into Lent together in our time of reflection and sort of introspection with God is not just to notice, young people, the big important things, whether it's college in a few years or something at school tomorrow. The challenge is the ability to take all of that, whether it is big or whether it is small, and get it all together around God as you spend time reflecting and thinking. It's easy to say, I'm going to spend this Holy Lenten season confessing my sins every day to God and leaning upon His grace and Jesus suffered for me. But you know what? Some mornings you wake up and you slept horrible. Or just the way someone looked at you was painful. And as you reflect, perhaps that might be something that is troublesome enough to take to God. Let's spend some time in Scripture. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, as we pause in our worship service to consider your word, as we carve deliberate time out for it, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to speak to our hearts and to our minds, so that as we go through Lent, whether we go through downcast because of sin, whether we go through downcast because of large issues, or whether we just struggle, and the only person we tell it to is ourselves, we pray these scriptures would speak to us. And as they speak to us, we would carry them with us out from this place into the world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Our text for this morning is found in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow with me. It is Psalm 25. Verses 1 through 10, I believe. Yep, it's about the first half of that whole psalm. It's found on page 476 in your pew Bible, if you wish to follow. It is a psalm of David. So I invite you to listen now and hear God's word as it is found in Psalm 25, 1 through 10. David writes, "To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Yea, let none that wait for thee be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day long. Be mindful of thy mercies, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Holy God, we thank you for these, your words from David, written for us this morning. As we stop and consider them, we ask you to speak to our hearts, to our minds, and to our lives, that what the author says will be something we can carry with us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. As I said on Ash Wednesday, as we began our Lenten journey for this year together, Lent is the time to reflect, to consider, and to ultimately, as we reflect and consider, change our lives as we reflect on Jesus' suffering, or at very least, try to change our lives as we reflect on Jesus' suffering. For certainly it will be hard to do, to totally change from one life to another. Well, Advent is filled with joys and carols and candles. Its brevity makes this reflective process very difficult. It's challenging. I'd like to be that introspective in Advent, but frankly, anecdotally, it's so pretty in here. It's just hard to concentrate on being serious and reflective. But the time length of Lent offers us more time and space to think, and to think longer. In Lent, we consider our sins, and we hold them not just once on Ash Wednesday, or today, or next, this coming Wednesday at the Lenten, we hold them up next to Christ's suffering on the cross, deliberately. We do it over and over and over and over again throughout Lent. Careful attention is paid in this season to how we misstep as Christians. And we resolve as best as we're able, knowing we won't be able to totally, to live differently. We remain in Lent in those revealing moments, and by doing so, through this self-revelation, we learn from God and we're changed. So what if God, with all of that said, what if God in the psalm today is offering us a different pathway or methodology or whatever you'd want to say? What if God's showing us something different through David's words to reflect upon? What if today we were asked or offered an opportunity to engage God differently? Not just through the serious self-reflection upon our sins, which we do in Lent, which we consistently do. What if the focus of Lent, according to Psalm, this Psalm, is not just our sinful choices? What if in Lent we find room in the midst of that reflection, that contrition, for worship practices? In today's text, we read a psalm of David. More than just another great psalm that we like to read and remember, this affirms God's presence, with the author. This psalm is one of worship and prayer more than it is one of contrition and introspection. This psalm does not contain words directly of a downcast life. It is very different. This psalm is aspirational. Even though we know that David lived a life that was filled with great hardships and tremendous suffering, this psalm reminds us that in the midst of that struggle, the suffering, the introspection, the challenges of Lent, we can still find space and a way to worship. I wonder if praying in a similar manner as David did in this psalm might offer us a valuable way to encounter God. Our psalm begins with the phrase, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." That image is powerful. That stops you in your reading it, that David begins it. But it's also, if you notice it, it's also quite provocative. It's not just a great entry point, which David had. It's provocative. We might find someone like Paul using a beginning like this one in the epistles. using a phrase that lifts the mind of the reader or hearer up. I'm lifting this up to you. It's an entryway into the psalm. It's kind of out of character in these places. I lift up my soul to you, O Lord, as another translation says. In this verse, David's use of grammar tells us that he has already done this with the Lord, as the words are written. He has already lifted up his soul. As the words are coming out of his mouth or coming onto the page or however you want to use that, David's soul is in the process of being lifted up to God. This action is not aspirational. It's not future focused. The act of lifting up my soul is not rooted in a hope of something that will happen on Easter morning to the empty tomb. This is not an anticipated hope in any way grammatically. No, as David says it, he has done it. He has lived in this way. To you I lift my soul. My soul goes to you, O Lord, for reasons, David would say, far deeper and expansive than my words are able to state in this one little phrase. The very nature of such aspiration after God's demands that it shall be exclusive, all in or not at all. That is the requirement of this level of devotion and faith that David is saying here. All of it, I lift it to you. Not part of it, all of it. Cares and pleasures are the weights which press the soul down to earth and fasten it here. And it is the Spirit's power of prayer which must enable the soul to throw off these weights, to break the cords, to lift itself up to heaven. David begins here in worship. I lift my soul to you. But there is more here as David begins. Also in this phrase, we learn that David is turning to God in an act of utter confidence and total dependence. This is an extension of how he understands the lifting up of the soul to God through worship. He understands that he and God are in a covenantal relationship that predates him. And will continue long after he is gone. But yet it is also a relationship based on actions taken in response to the very moment that God appeared to him. As he is with the world at large. It predates him. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And it's personal for him. Again, this is not something that happens in the future in David's mind. One day I'll be devout, Lord, and we'll do this stuff together. No. It is not a choice that David hopes to live into aspirationally tomorrow. I'll be a better Christian tomorrow if he would use those words. David's utter dependence and reliance upon God means that he is lifting up his soul in response to God's presence with him. Even before he fully understands what it means or requires of him, he is confident, he is dependent upon God. I may not know what you're doing, Lord, but I am fixed to you. And I won't move away. There's a big difference in that moment of choice from David. It is the place where our psalm invites us to begin our considerations in Lent, on this first week in Lent. As we consider our sins, our shortcomings, the big ones, the little ones, the deliberate ones, the accidental ones, we can do so with this type of worship in our minds. Not one of separation and isolation. God's over there. We're sitting here by ourselves in sin. As David has lifted up his soul to God in this all-in way, he is reminded that he also lives and walks with God on the right path. As he said in the middle of the passage that I read, that sounds a lot like Psalm 23, doesn't it? Those words. David's words in this psalm serve as a reminder of that great union between himself and God that exists. We hear it echoed as he speaks to God in verses 4 and 5 of this psalm in prayer. Guide me, he says. Show me. Teach me your paths, O Lord. These are words that affirm that God is David's guide in life. Not just dependent and relying upon God. God is out in front as well, driving him onward, encouraging him, teaching him, inspiring him. These words speak for David and for us who read and believe in these words that David will not be alone when he is by himself. God will still be there. It's an affirmative stance that we can take in our own lives. We can be sure that no man or woman who has been shown the way of God or taught God's paths or led in his truth has been led into sin or compromise. That is a public disgrace or a public dishonor. God is with us. Looking again at what David is specifically saying in the psalm, he is affirming that he and God are walking, in his use of language, a well-worn path, a well-traveled road, like a caravan or a highway amongst the world. It's the specific words he's using here. In that, there is a familiarity in this walk between God and David. They have been here before, a well-worn path, together. We hear this affirmed in the language that David is using. He specifically chooses words for his prayer that support and uphold this posture and understanding of how God is with him and at work in him and leading him. Going all the way back to where we started, in a worshipful stance and mindset in this case. The journey that God and David have been on has taken this uncertain shepherd boy on an improbable path from obscurity in the fields, not even valued by his family, to be brought before Samuel. And it has led him to be anointed as king. David didn't think he was going to end up in this place, but here he is. And for us, here we are. When we live and work in relationship to God in a similar way, we do not do so in a vacuum of isolation or separation, or at least we're not supposed to. We have gone places and walked places and lived in places where our relationship with God and the lessons God is teaching us feel so familiar, a well-worn path, or we might say a comfortable old shoe. And God's faithfulness has been with us, seeing us through the entire journey from our current location to some future spot that God will take us. This sounds a lot like the words of the Exodus, words of rescue in the prayer, words of support, words that affirm a connection between God and David and you and I in Lent with God. We are connected together with him in a well-worn path that takes us forward. Now, I always, and I do mean always, appreciate affirmative words and support and encouragement that we find in God's Word. It's especially necessary and true in Lent. This season is challenging for the church, and not just because it's crazy cold out there and very slippery in our parking lot. It will end in the warmth of spring eventually, yes. This Lenten work, though, is challenging, because Psalm 25 invites us to live deeper into the reality of God with us, God's presence before us, confronting our sins, of course, ask us to confess and change our lives, of course, but guiding us, leading us, teaching us, helping us to grow more mature as Christians and servants in the community. And when we slip up, and we always do, not shunning us or putting us away, but continuing to teach and help us learn. There is also a personal aspect in this invitation that resides below the affirmative surface that David is giving us today. David felt and dealt with, as you know, a lot in his life. He knows how to suffer, both physically, as he was hunted by Saul and others, and emotionally, having lost his best friend. He did it deliberately with Uriah the Hittite. And accidentally, he's felt pain. He's even caused some of it. And he could have turned his back on God and what God was doing in his life in those moments. Chose to be self-focused and take care of himself. But David maintained a worshipful posture, the communing posture with God. And he let God lead him. And therefore, his prayer continued on in the rest of the Psalm 25 that we have. Guide me, teach me, show me. I wonder, as we are in the first full week of Lent, about your pain, about how you've confronted sin and your choices in Lent. We're only a few days in. With those standing before you, those choices, those thoughts, those things that God is bringing into mind that you keep with you and you should keep with you between your relationship with God and yourself. I wonder about how this passage could help transform that conversation. One from less of downcast and, oh, woe is me, Lord, because I am a sinner, and more of, I bring this to you, Lord, for worship's sake, so you and I can grow together. So you can guide me, lead me, teach me. We live in those same places that David lived with and struggled in. How we lift up our souls to God, or how we determine to confront or address the struggles of our day, whether they're big ones or little ones, like I talked with the youth about, doesn't matter. They are part of our Lenten growth. And so they too are an opportunity for you and I to worship with God. And as we worship, we learn. And as we learn, we grow. And as we grow, the path becomes clearer. Let us be the church and pray together. Loving God, as we continue in Lent this season, we affirm that it will be hard at times for us. We know it will. Our sins are great. They hurt us. They hurt you. We hurt each other. But Lord, help us not to feel so isolated and alone because of them. Help us instead to use this experience in Lent as an opportunity of worship, an opportunity to lift up our souls to you, an opportunity to be taught, to learn, to grow, and to share. It is in the name of Jesus we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand as you are able, as we confess in one voice the truth we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we continue to be the Church of Jesus Christ in ministry and in life, as we grow as the body of Christ and continue to worship in the dead of winter, it feels like, but it's going to be nicer soon. Where have you, church family, seen God at work? Amy, you shot that hand right up there. It's like, Derek, stop talking. I got a story for you.
Mm. And didn't Kathy play Rock of Ages this morning, and that was Grandma's favorite hymn. So I thought that was kind of
nice. Ah. That was a fast story. I'm still trying to write notes. Forgive me. I can't write as fast as I can think, but of course that's most of us, right? Thank you for sharing that story with us. It's Susie making banana bread. I hope you brought enough for everybody. And how that, it was Grandma's recipe, and how that reminded you of her, as well as Kathy played Rock of Ages, her favorite hymn. Thank you for sharing with us. Steve, where have you seen God at work, my friend?
I had a God moment at work this week, and it was over the course of 2 days. On Thursday, one of the calls that I handled was from one of our members' agents, and she was calling because she was in a nursing facility. Advocating on her behalf.
Sure.
This poor woman in the middle of January apparently was going outside, slipped and fell. She dislocated both shoulders and she lay on the ground for 16 hours before anybody found her. So we talked about what options she had. Apparently, at four different points, the facility where she was had already determined that she no longer needed that care.
Okay.
And it went through appeals process, and each time that decision was overturned. So, and it happened again, and she was supposed to be discharged this Saturday, yesterday. And it was in the appeal process again. So I let him know, once this plays out, the decision's due tomorrow. Depending on what the decision is, give me a call back on Friday, and we can take it a step higher if we need to. So on Friday, I get a transfer call from one of my fellow Pittsburgh coworkers. I recognized his voice right away. And he says the name of the person that's calling, and I immediately recognized it as the woman who I was speaking about with the agent the previous day.
Sure.
So I knew immediately what was going on, and I went into her file, and sure enough, this time the appeal had been upheld. But I felt so blessed because this was a very complicated situation, and I felt that I really knew what was going on. I had an appreciation. She didn't have to tell her story to a total stranger. We filed the next level of appeal. I said, you know you're supposed to be discharged tomorrow, but because you're going through this process, you have to be able to stay there through the weekend, and this next one will be a decision rendered on Monday, so nothing's going to happen until at least Monday. And I just knew that, God's hand was there, so that, you know, when this poor woman called in for this next step, she didn't have to tell the story to somebody who had no clue.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Yeah, it is. You said, as you said when you began, it was a complex story, but a story about presence and about God being at work. I hope this woman has found comfort and support and care from having someone familiar to talk to on the phone as she goes through this process. I'm sure it's painful enough emotionally without trying to redo it over and over again. Thanks for sharing it with us this morning. Where have you, church family, seen God at work? Bert?
I've always had this misty feeling about Lent. I didn't really look at it as a season. But I guess, you know, God speaks to us in prayer and reflection and meditation. And all of a sudden, something up for Lent was not something that Protestants do. It was not our denomination. We don't give something up. We don't have Fat Tuesdays and whatnot.
No, we can, but yeah, we don't always have a Fat Tuesday. I've been to Fat Tuesday Presbyterian pancake breakfast before. We're allowed to eat together. Come on now.
It never really began as a season and ended as a season. But it just dawned on me, okay, I can eat a big bag of those little square Hershey's chocolates.
The miniatures, yeah. Hit it from you, huh? All right.
I said, I'm going to give up. I'm going to do the give up thing. I'm going to do it. I don't care what the denomination it is. Because every time I look at that chocolate, I'm reminded of how small a sacrifice that is compared to how big a sacrifice Jesus gave us. All I have to do is open the closet. I'm being pharmaceutical. I'm still eating sweets. I'm still eating cookies. I'm I'm still pulling my donkey out of the well on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I give up the chocolate. I give them, and I see those two big bags of chocolate sitting up there in that closet. It reminds me of the season of Lent. And I think initially I heard Nancy Steele on this. She's probably over it by now. So when Easter comes and you can eat a whole bag of chocolate, then we'll do it.
That's enjoyed on Easter. Thanks for sharing with us. Yeah, Lent, giving up something for Lent is not strictly a Catholic practice. I've done it for a number of years. I know you've all done it yourselves. The joke I always make with the young people and the youth is that I'm giving up sinning for Lent. And then, of course, the joke is, of course, because I just said that, I've now lied, so I've not given up sinning for Lent. But it's a good discipline, the Lenten season. I hope you have a holy, blessed Lent. Where have you, church family, seen God at work? Denise.
So on Monday night, I couldn't get back to Cranberry because the roads froze up or everything. Yeah. So Rachel had marked and we went over to my sister's house in Lindora to do the work. And she was 10 minutes from finishing this big Votech project when all of a sudden the lights went out. So the transformer, we heard it blow, and I said to her, well, we're pretty well done for tonight. And she started to cry and she said, I only needed 10 more minutes. And I said, but you know what, Rachel, 10 minutes tonight isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But she, like you said, decided she was going to pray and God was going to answer her prayer. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that there's probably 1,000 other people waiting for the electric company. And believe it or not, within probably, half hour, the electric company was out front of the house. And she went running out screaming to this guy how excited she was to see him. And literally by 10 to 11, mm-hmm. she submitted that project. I thought to myself, I had such little faith thinking on a night where there's so many probably other people waiting for the electric company, the odds of that were probably 1,000,000 to 1, but she had the faith that God was going to help her get that submitted, and it happened. And so your sermon today was just what I needed to hear, that there's nothing so small that we couldn't ask God. I mean, in my mind, I said, wait till tomorrow, but she knew that God was going to answer that small, it was big for her.
It's big for her. That's right. It was big for her. Thanks for sharing that story. We're glad that Rachel completed her Votech project, even in the midst of a blackout. You're right, there is nothing too small for God. I'm glad it brought her joy that God answered her prayers and brought the lights back on just in time to get it done. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing with us as a community this morning as we spend time being the church in prayer. Do you have joys and concerns that you'd like to share with us? Kathy?
Katie Fresh Victoria. She's still in the hospital, still looking for answers. They did have to put in a pick line, so she's at least now getting some nutrition, which is a good thing.
We will keep Victoria in our prayers. Still in the hospital. Still looking for answers. I'm still sure, still struggling, still suffering, and we will pray not just for her, but for those caring for her family in this time. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns? Julie.
I'm coming in with a message from my sister Pam.
From Pam.
And we've prayed for her a number of times mm-hmm. here. She's had been going through some really, really tough times, and things are now resolving.
We are glad to know that she knows that God is at work in her life. I can't write and talk, sorry. In her life, she has been through some tough times, we know, and we're glad to hear she's moving back to Minnesota soon, and we are glad to share that joy with her. We will pray for her as she transitions. Thanks. Are there other joys and concerns today? Frank.
Maybe joy and concerns.
Okay.
Pastor got the new job of executive president of our presbytery, but that church is now in the process of having to find an interim pastor until they form the PNC. So prayers for the congregation keeps moving forward.
We will pray. Thank you for that. We will pray and celebrate in one respect is We have a new executive presbyter in our presbytery, but we will pray for Westminster Evans City as they go through that difficult time of discernment and PNC work and all of that in this time. Thanks for reminding us of them. Are there others? Nancy. We're glad to hear that Dave's family, your brother, is COVID-free, that no one's got it. They're all better. They're doing well. So we join you in praising God. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns? Tim.
A young lady by the name of Madison, who's going to ski after this weekend, has two punctured lungs, have just been unable to keep them re-expanded. Kind of baffling.
We will keep Madison in our prayers. She was in a ski accident that Tim was involved with. She's got two puncture lungs. We will pray for her as she goes through and continues to heal from that. Are there other joys and concerns? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are grateful to be the body of Christ, be with you this morning, to be in worship, to share how you are at work, to share how you're answering our prayers, present in our lives, transforming and renewing us as a body of believers. We are thankful in the midst of Lent for you. We are thankful for the opportunity to now bow our heads, humble our hearts, and give our needs and joys over to you, trusting you to care, to heal, not just physically, but emotionally, these wounds and needs. We pray for the young lady Tim mentioned, Madison, who was in a ski accident this week and has two punctured lungs and is having difficulty keeping them inflated and breathing well. We pray for her that you would heal her body from that accident, give her the breath that she needs. We join Nancy in giving you praise that her brother's family, Dave's family, is COVID-free. They have made it through a time of potential exposure, and now on the other side, would they give you praise for being with them? We think of our brothers and sisters at Westminster Evans City in the time of transition. We pray for guidance and leadership for them. Watch over their session. Watch over their body as they go through the search process following their previous pastor's advancement into the role of executive at this presbytery. Give them understanding and wisdom as how to serve the needs of their community in this time. We are glad to hear from Julie's sister Pam, who has been in our prayers before, struggled through a difficult time. But we are glad to hear she knows that you have been at work present with her through that time. And as she gets ready to move back to Minnesota, be with her transition, watch over her in that. We pray for Victoria, still in the hospital, still suffering, still looking for answers. She and her family still wondering why, Lord. We're glad to hear that she has a PICC line in now so that she can get some nutrition. Rebuild her strength, rebuild her body, help them to find answers so that treatment can be found for Victoria and healing in her life. And of course, as we begin Lent, we lift up the silent prayers in our hearts to you, trusting you to hear them. Whether they are big needs, whether small needs, it does not matter. You like to hear from us. And so, Lord, hear us in the silence of our hearts this morning. And as you hear us in the silence of our hearts, continue to be at work there. Continue to restore us. Continue to guide us, teach us, show us, so that we can lift our very selves up to you in an act of worship. And hear us now, Lord, together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer today, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.